Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Psalms 100. I will entitle this psalm, His Steadfast Love Endures Forever. The heading of the psalm is quite simply a psalm for giving thanks. Adam Clark says the heading should be translated the way the Chaldee version does, quote, praise for the sacrifice or offering of confession. Now, I don't know what the offering of confession is, maybe some kind of peace offering, I don't know. But Adam Clark thinks that there's the idea of confessing to God along with giving thanks. I don't know if he's right or not, I just pass it along for your information. We begin now with verses 1 through 3, and this is a short psalm, only 5 verses. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, in my opinion, this psalm ought to be recited faithfully and memorized thoroughly by every Presbyterian in America or Europe or wherever they are. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shouting? Shouting joyfully? Come before him with joyful singing? Does that sound like a typical Presbyterian worship service? If they can do it in the Old Testament, why can't we do it in the New? I remember reading a book by Michael Horton, who is a Presbyterian Reformed guy out at Westminster West, whatever they call it in California, White Horse Inn guy. And in that book, he said, you know, there's something to this criticism about us Presbyterians being a little frozen. I thought that was a very nice self-own. It's true. We need to shout joyfully to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with it. Serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to be glad. Now, this is what Adam Clark says about being glad in your religious worship. It is your privilege and duty to be happy in your religious worship. The religion of the true God is intended to remove human misery and to make mankind happy. He whom the religion of Christ has not made happy does not understand that religion or does not make a proper use of it. Oh, that's a good quote. The unknown psalmist, the author of Psalm 95:1, says this, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Verse 1 says, Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Of course, haaretz can be translated either earth or land. In fact, the KJV translates this verse as lands, plural. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the lands. Well, it's probably earth, not land, because, well, I mean, it could be either one. It could be all Israel needs to shout to God or all the earth. It doesn't make any difference. The application to the New Testament church is we ought to be shouting joyfully to the Lord, even if we're Presbyterians. Verse 2 says, Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, a servant can serve with slavish fear, or he can serve with gladness. Notice that when we are a slave to the Lord, we're glad about it. We're not your typical slave that's unhappy about being in slavery. We are happy to be enslaved to the Lord because he is a master that will provide us with every good thing that we need, every good thing to enjoy, as Paul told the Philippians, I think it was. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Psalm 95, verse 2, a psalm I just previously quoted, says this, Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Let us come before his presence. Go to where he is. Of course, that's his temple. We'll see that in a minute. Verse 3 says, Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us. Now, notice the very important creator distinction or creator-creature distinction. God has made us and not we ourselves. In other words, God is God, he's the creator, and we are the created, and never the twain shall meet, at least metaphysically. We can meet personally in prayer and thanksgiving, but we're not the same. What do all idolaters do? They take the created, the creature, and turn it into the creator. The sun gods, the bull gods, the ram gods, and so forth. So God has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, why are the people of God called sheep? Well, because sheep are dependent. They need a shepherd. They need to be protected from predators. They need someone to guide them to water and to guide them to pasture. The followers of God are often called sheep. For example, in Psalms 74, verse 1, the author of which is Asaph, the psalmist says this, O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Psalms 95:7, the author of which is unknown, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And obviously the New Testament people of God are sheep too. Jesus is the good shepherd. We go now to Psalms 100, verses 4 through 5, and we will finish this psalm. The psalmist says, and I forgot to mention the psalmist is unknown because the heading does not tell us. The psalmist says in verses 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, I mentioned earlier that in verse 2, the psalmist says, come before God. That means come before him where he is, where God is. Well, where is that? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts. I'm assuming gates is in parallel with courts, and so it's talking about the courts of the tabernacle or the temple, depending on when the psalm was written. And the gates to those courtyard would let the people in. And so you come in with thanksgiving. Of course, what did Paul say? Let your prayers be with thanksgiving. Likewise, in the Old Testament, you're supposed to come in praising God with thanksgiving. You should thank him for what he has already done before you ask him to do some more. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what he's done. Praise is blessing God or just extolling his magnificent and exalted attributes. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. That's parallel. Thanksgiving and thanks. Praise and bless. Bless means to praise when you're blessing God. When God blesses us, it means he's given us something good. When we bless God, we're praising him. Not only God's goodness, verse 5, are we to praise him for, but his mercy or his loving kindness forever. Now, I mentioned this when I discussed the heading, his loving kindness. Adam Clark says that that Hebrew word bethoda, which we render with thanksgiving, is probably with the confession offering or sacrifice we're supposed to offer praise. We're supposed to come with a sacrifice as we give thanks. Perhaps, but most all of the translations say thanksgiving. Now, in verse 4, I mentioned the courts that the Israelites were supposed to enter with praise. I said that was the courts of the temple, and I believe that to be true. The NIV Study Bible says, however, it may be a general reference to the open enclosures of courtyards used for large assemblies of people. And so this was a symbol for the idea of meeting with God. I don't think so. I think it's the courts of the temple. Psalm 65:4, David writes this, how blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Courts, temple in parallel. The temple courts, I believe, is being referred to here in Psalms 100. Psalms 96:8, the author of which is unknown, says this, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The offering is probably a thank offering and come into his courts. Well, you bring an offering into the tabernacle or to the temple. And so that's in parallel with courts. So I take these courts to be the temple courts or the tabernacle courts, depending on when the psalm was written. Here's some other scriptures with the same idea. Psalms 84, verse 2. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. So you see, there's a lot of singing done in the courts of the tabernacle or the temple. The sons of Korah wrote Psalms 84, verse 2. The author of Psalms 92:13 is unknown, but it has the same idea. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. New Testament application of this is, of course, Christians need to come to their temple, which is the church, and they need to praise God. Not sit at home watching YouTube sermons and being Mr. Lone Ranger. Now, I know that in American Christianity, a good church is about as hard to find as a politician who will be able to balance the federal budget. It's not going to happen very often, and it's hard to find good churches. Well, then find a small church, find a home group, find a Bible study, find somewhere where you can go and praise the Lord. Now, in verse 5, the word loving kindness shows up again. I did a search on this in a previous audio. I think it was over 130-something instances in the Old Testament, proving that the Old Testament is full of God's love and mercy as well as his wrath. And so it is a stereotype to say that the Old Testament God is nothing but a wrathful, vengeful, nasty God up there with a whip. No, his loving kindness is everlasting. Other translations for loving kindness, the Young's Literal Translation says his kindness. The ASV and the Darby Translation agree with the NASB, his loving kindness, but the Bible in Basic English and God's Words translation say his mercy is everlasting. The Holman Christian Study Bible and the the Holman Christian Study Bible and the New American Bible translate it simply as love. His love is everlasting. Now, everlasting is holam. The Holman Christian Study Bible translates that as eternal. And, of course, holam can either mean a long, long time or eternal. Well, I believe that it's eternal here is the best way to translate it because God's love's never going to stop for his elect. Never going to stop. Again, the psalm ends on a happy note, as most of them do. And we are finished with Psalms 100. And we are now prepared to go to Psalms 101 in our next audio, which I will entitle, I Will Walk with Integrity. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.